All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody out there. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Hey, good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM on the Baton Rouge Capital City area radio waves. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us and everybody watching all across the world on our Facebook and YouTube. Thank you for tuning in this morning. Of course, keep up with the Jaguar Journal on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify. We're on X. We're on Instagram. Mike got us TikToking as well as Facebook, and hit the subscribe button on our YouTube channel. Glad to have you guys, and glad to have my man, very special guest here in the studio, my man Kevin Baptiste,
AFB.
Look, I almost said something. I had to stop myself. Thank you.
I was going to let you finish it. I was like, oh, he's going to continue? Oh, let me help him out.
It's so many of them W's to give me sometime. Thank you. I didn't want to, hey, I know how y'all get. I watched, what's it, Ron Burgundy. I see how the news stations can meet in the park and throw hands. So I ain't want them problems this morning, right?
Truth be told, there may be beef like that between, like, the higher-ups in news. Uh-huh. Us in sports, we don't have that.
Okay.
All right. We do the same crazy assignments, work the same crazy hours. So
y'all don't meet up in random parks once a month and just brawl it out.
I mean, we might meet up in a random park and drink something after a long game or something. Like, man, we just went through watching this. Let's just.
I take it that was what it was after this Southern football season, right?
It may or may not have been. I ain't gonna say nothing. It may or may not have been.
Well, Kevin, man, glad to have you in. Of course, man.
Yes, sir.
Everybody wants to talk about the Marshall Faulk hire. It's the hot topic, right? It was the reason Southern named Marshall Faulk the head coach. It was supposed to turn heads. It was supposed to be the headliner. It's supposed to be what it is because guess what? He's a NFL great. He's a Hall of Famer. He's a Louisiana guy. Ninth Ward, New Orleans, went to Carver, ultimately went over to the West Coast to play his college career. Running backs coach this year at the University of Colorado under Coach Deion Sanders, and now he's the head coach at Southern University. Let's start there before we even get into the staff. But for you, you were there just like I was for the press conference and the introduction of Coach Marshall Faulk. Of course, we looked around the room. You saw all the higher-ups from the Southern. You saw the higher-ups from the community. Then you saw some great alums like Avery Johnson, Aeneas Williams, who spoke highly of him, who seemed to have been at the table a part of this. And then everybody basically said, hey, this is Tony Clayton's guy, who's the chair of the board. This is guy. And you can tell.
hey.
You can tell this is his guy at that press conference. But for you, the dust is settled. But from the initial thought of the pick, Marshall Faulk.
Well, first off, before I get into the whole Southern Marshall Faulk aspect, I mean, let's get into, I guess Southern going with the times. I mean, we see a lot of this happening with a bunch of HBCU programs that go into that pool of taking former NFL Hall of Famers or well-known NFL guys. And from my perspective, it's like there is no in-between with these type of things. Mm-hmm. Like either it's very, very good or it's very, very bad. Mm-hmm. Right now, I mean, we have a long way before, you know, determining that. But I will say, so far, from what we've seen in these, what, it's been 3 weeks now, mm-hmm, since he's officially been hired. I mean, he's been saying all the right things.
It creates the excitement that you need after a season like this.
They definitely set the tone in that press conference. I mean, just having, like you said, just having Aeneas, having Avery Johnson, two greats coming back, and just being there for this moment. I mean, when you got Avery Johnson saying, I've never been to a football, I've never been to a football press conference.
I'm a basketball guy, but I'm here to support my friend Aeneas, and I'm here.
Yeah, man, him. good job.
How you like that one?
Yeah, good job. But no, him coming in, being here, Marshall saying how much those two, you know, were key components. And him coming to Southern, and I mean, just everything that he said on the mic as far as I mean, just what his plans for Southern, not just trying to help this program, you know, went on the field but off the field, asking now, reaching out to the fan base, you know, the support, you know, I know, you know, historically, you know, Southern has been one of the ones, but mm-hmm, you know, this not you know, them times no more. You know, if we're gonna get to where we want to be, it's gonna take all your support, not just showing up to the game and staying the entire time, but also, you know, your pocketbooks. And like I said, just all around, just bringing some new juice to a program that needs it after last year. So so far, I'm a fan of Marshall Faulk. Like I said, he has been killing just about every press run he's been on so far.
I need to get him here on the Jaguar Journal. I hadn't even had a chance to. On that day, so many people grabbed and was talking. I was like, man, you ain't going nowhere no time soon. I'll grab you and get a chance to talk to you when I get a chance. And for me, I will say this. I have to, and a lot of people ask me, how do you feel about it, Perry? I am a sit back and wait in this situation moment because I will say this. The hire didn't wow me. Like Marshall Faulk as the NFL guy, right? I watched Marshall Faulk play in the NFL. I liked it for that. And I guess for me to have said what I'm saying is, I got on these airways and for weeks I was saying we got to have a proven football coach. Somebody with a track record, somebody that's shown no matter where they've gone, you saw elevation. Mm-hmm. So with Marshall Faulk, I get the resources and the people that he can bring around, and we'll get to that as we start to talk about the staff. But that's the part when people say, well, Perry, how do you feel about it? And I'm like, there's really no resume for me to build off of. So his resume is going to be basically in front of us watching it live of him, you know, being a head coach for the first time. So I really don't have like a direction. I'm a sit back and wait type of guy. I want him to be successful. Now that he's here, I'm behind him, right?
Right.
I got to roll with it and I'm going to roll with it. But it's like I don't have any thought or feeling towards it. I can't say, man, I think Southern going to win it all next. Like, I don't know, because when you don't have any body of work behind you in terms of being a head coach, I don't know what to expect. I don't know what's going to be your specialty. I hear he's the offensive guru. You sit him down and watch film, he can break offense down. I don't know what an identity will look like under him because, once again, he's never been a head coach, so we don't know what that looks like.
Well, so far, I like his mindset. I like his attitude towards it. I mean, you got some coaches, they'll come in just, you know, talking all that, you know, big stuff about what they can do in this first year, and I guess just kind of, you know, throwing off the naysayers. I mean, point be proven. I mean, I asked them during the Q&A that first day. I was like, you know, what would you say to those who say you have no experience as a head coach? Mm-hmm. Like, I would say nothing. I mean, it's no secret. I mean, you know, I know, everyone knows that I've never been a head coach. So, I mean, we just got to, you know, wait and see how the process plays out. And, you know, I can respect that answer.
Yeah.
I mean, he didn't give no BS. Oh, I mean, well, I'll just tell people they don't know what I'm about. I mean, yeah. he just straight up said, you know, you just gotta wait and see. And I mean,
Stump Mitchell came in here and told us we was going undefeated.
I still can't. I don't remember that.
Oh, he said we're going undefeated, baby.
I may still be in high school when that happened. But yeah, see, you can't come out and say that. You cannot come out and say that. So I mean, at least he's being truthful and honest with himself. So I can respect that. I mean, at the same time, I mean, you got to start somewhere. And it seems like nowadays, the SWAC and other HBCUs, they have become that stepping stone for head coaches.
Mm-hmm.
And again, like we say, it's really, really good or it's really, really bad. And I see at the minimum, these people hiring NFL head coaches, even if the wins take a while, at the minimum, it might bring some business.
Yeah,
it's going to get people talking.
We saw it in the MEAC, right? DeSean Jackson in year one, never been a head coach, found success at Delaware State, right? They were one of the top, if not the top, rushing team in all of FCS football in year one. I had a chance to talk to their offensive coordinator, Nemo Washington. He said, man, we just had to come in and work with what we had, and then we're going to build from that. But then on the other side of that, take a name like Michael Vick. Ended the season on like a 10-game losing streak at Norfolk State, right? They thought things can get better once they moved from Dawson Otis, but they found out this is tough.
Yeah, I heard about how that's going. We got a guy who works in Wavy Beach now who like tells me how that whole process is going with Michael Vick. Like, from what I hear, he kind of treats that like a 9-to-5.
Like, do you really want to be here?
Yeah.
And that's the thing, I guess, for me that's going to have to grow for Marshall Faulk. I'm excited about it. I can tell DeSean Jackson wants to be there.
Yes.
This is what he wants to do. And you can see it in his energy. His energy is letting you know, I'm going to let the naysayers know this is my call and this is what I want to do. Michael Vick is more lethargic, like, what's up, dude? You know, yeah, I got to go coach later. You know, like, I'll catch y'all, you know. And I want to see, don't laugh at me, man. I want to see.
You ain't lying.
Yeah. I want to see what Coach Faulk looks like now in that position and in that role. Is this something that he's just wanting to try, or is he serious about this and is going to take it serious to the point? And I mean, I know he's serious, but there's a different level of serious when it comes to being a head coach, especially if you have not done it before, to realize, man, it's going to be some sleepless nights, coach. It's going to be some stress. You at a place that says we have low resources. You're not always going to get a yes. You're going to probably get some no's. And when you get those no's, if it's something you want, you're going to probably have to go do the extra and go above and beyond on your side in order to make things done. And that comes, that brings added pressure to the job.
Well, it's a good thing that he worked under Deion Sanders for a year. Because I mean, I guess that's another thing that he talked about in that Q&A. He was like, he did lean on Deion, or Coach Prime, as they call him, for, I guess, some guidance just to know what he was getting into by taking this job. And I remember he said, he asked Deion, he's like, man, how's the swag? And Deion told him, like, yeah, it's something. Yeah. But, you know, but it's worth it, because at the end of the day, the people really care.
Yeah.
And you can't say that about a lot of schools, especially in the FCS, as far as fan support. So as long as Falk want to take on that challenge and knows what he's getting himself into, I can respect that.
And for me, I think for the big part, the fan base is going to have to get behind him. Now, this is the part with the fan base with Falk, the growing pains of being a head coach, because if it's not success immediately, but with the amount of money that he's making and the amount of investment being put into this program, it almost feels it has to be success immediately.
Yeah, it has to be. It has to be. I mean, you know, nowadays people want, you know, microwave results. I mean, in this, you know, social media, everybody, you know, talks and everything. I mean, but at the same time, I mean, it still might take a little time. I mean,
what's a little time?
I mean, maybe about 2-3.
No, we need 6 months.
6 months?
6 months.
Wow. you want it now. Hey. You want that PV Tremaine Jackson?
Yeah. He said, look, we turned it with 70 players. That's just the way the game is these days. And I mean, that took him all the way to the Celebration Bowl. So if you can evaluate, develop, and put it together the right way, success can be there.
I will say, let me see how he puts the roster together, because I feel like they are really about to attack the portal. I mean, yeah, early signing, they just got started. I mean, we haven't really seen many guys, many high schools commit, but I feel like that they've been putting all their eggs in this portal basket coming up. So after that, I'll get back to your 6 months evaluation. I can already see Perry right now with the pitchforks and knives in November.
I believe in giving the coach time, but this is the problem with the time.
Yeah.
This is why I was saying Southern needed a guy who already had that previous coaching experience, because we're in a situation with all of the money and investment that they're willing to shell into this, and the way the Jaguar Nation is right now, no doubt about it. Whoever they hired, the writing was on the wall. You better go to a Celebration Bowl. Yes. Simple as that.
Yes.
We're not trying to go just to a SWAC championship. You damn near have to. Can I say that? Too late, did. You got to host a SWAC championship, because we're tired of watching everybody else do it, and go to a Celebration Bowl. That's the expectations here.
Right.
And the fan base coming off the dismal season that we had is like, all right, whoever comes in, let's go.
That's correct. But you got to keep it reality. I mean, going from 2-10 to the Celebration Bowl immediately.
Yeah.
2-10 to the Southland Championship, to the SEC Championship. That's turnaround of the century type stuff. I think. Yeah. I mean, Tulane may have did a few years ago. I mean, they went from like a very horrible record to the AAC Championship. But at the same time, you got to be realistic sometimes, man.
Yeah. Am I being too hard on you?
I mean, it's 6 months. Whew.
Yeah. I'm being too hard on you.
Hey, just a little bit.
Okay. I'll lighten up. Let's get ready to take a break, everybody. We come back on the side. We'll talk about the coaching staff at Southern. Got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio with me. I'm Perry White. It's the Jaguar Journal. We'll be right back. All right, everybody. We're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. I'm Perry White. Got my man Kevin Baptiste here in the studio with me this morning. We're talking Southern University football. Kevin, you know, we just talked about Falk, and I'm not being hard on him, but the Jaguar Nation can be hard on you.
Absolutely. That should be.
This is a tough place, and I think people have learned Baton Rouge when it comes to football. Hey, you better come ready to work.
Hey, name me another market where you've had two coaching transactions in the same year, weeks apart from each other.
Oh.
Weeks apart from each other. Just imagine us at the station scrambling around trying to. Like, come on, bro. Can we talk about something else besides coaches getting fired, bro?
No.
Like, come on.
And Baton Rouge is about football. And when you got prideful fan bases like LSU and Southern with championships and rich history and tradition, it comes with an added pressure, and you got to be able to fit that culture. And guess what? You got to ignite that culture, because the culture here is championships. And that's a good thing to be, because I don't want to be around no loser stuff. I like winner stuff, and I think that's what people got to understand about Southern on the outside. Southern fans like to brag about winning. And winning, for a long time, they said the SWAC stood for not just the Southwestern Athletic Conference, but for Southern wins another championship. And it's been some time. So now we get Coach Falk in. Let's talk about his staff and give us some of the names. Let's start on the offensive side in terms of the offensive coordinator, because I think it went differently than what people thought. The name that was going around at first was going to be Curtis Johnson, was going to be the offensive coordinator. But then in the board meeting, boom, we got a flip of a coin, and it was something different.
So it's funny, you know, I love Southern, but we know they like to keep things, you know, tight to the vest. So, mm-hmm. I think what happened was everybody was going off the packet for the board meeting.
Mm-hmm.
And I read the packet, and I seen, like I said, some other stations, I ain't going to say no names, they put it out that Curtis Johnson was going to be the OC. And I'm looking, I'm like, wait a minute, Curtis Johnson is a 64-year-old who has never been an OC. So I'm like, he can't be the offensive coordinator, right? And I guess on the packet it said that he would be replacing Mark Frederick.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm like, no, let me do some digging about this. That's why I made some phone calls, and I learned that he would be the general manager, in a sense. So then Falk comes out and says that he is the general manager / assistant head coach. So I like it, in the sense that when you talk about having that head coaching experience or lack thereof,
mm-hmm.
him bringing on Curtis, someone who has decades upon decades of coaching experience.
Former
head coach at Tulane, even a head coach in the XFL, which I don't like spring football, but he was a head coach somewhere. not a fan of that XFL stuff. But no, man, bringing in Curtis, someone who, like I said, who's been through the trenches, knows all about being a head coach, a fellow New Orleans boy,
mm-hmm.
at that. I like, you know, bringing in, I guess, that sort of mentor,
mm-hmm.
I guess, to help Falk whenever those tough times come. So I guess that will help him in a sense. So I hear the offensive coordinator will be Kyle Kasky.
Mm-hmm.
Now, it's funny, because, again, this is another thing about Southern keeping things close to the vest. So Marshall Falk said verbatim in the board meeting that Kyle Kasky will be his offensive coordinator. But our sources, we've heard that Kasky hasn't officially accepted the offer yet.
Really?
Yeah. He hasn't accepted. But again, Falk said it verbatim in the board meeting. So I'm still going off the head coach's word. You know, this might just be some G14 classified stuff. So for now, I'm going to still say it's Kasky. But yeah, he has experience as a NFL assistant, you know, 12 years. Did not know it until a few days ago that he was at LSU. As an analyst,
mm-hmm.
during the 2021 season. I guess, I mean, that season was such a dud for everybody. It came and went. So, yeah, you know, of course, you know, whenever your head coach is an NFL guy, you know, he's going to bring in some more of that NFL experience. Tight ends coach, Ben Miles.
Hey, that's the one everybody just seen. Oh, that's Les Miles.
That's Les Miles' son. That's Les Miles' son, yeah.
That one in itself excites people. I'm like, all right.
All right, yeah. I mean, as long as he don't, you know, get that old 1960s, you know, toss power stuff. But I mean, he ain't gonna be the OC.
Yeah.
But no, Ben Miles, Catholic High alum, has had stints on staff at Florida State and Texas A&M. He's gonna be tight ends coach. I feel like this is a more so of a recruiting thing. I
mean, yeah.
You bring in, you know, a Baton Rouge guy. You know, he still has all those connections at Catholic High and other places around Baton Rouge. So this is one of those moves to get back into that, you know, the 2-2-5 zone. And then a defensive coordinator, Ty Lights, mm-hmm. former teammate of Falk with the Rams. They were on the same team and went in Super Bowl 34 together. He was a Pro Bowler that year also. Also a multi-time All-American at Notre Dame. His last coaching stint was at Notre Dame,
mm-hmm.
2015-2019, under Brian Kelly. How about that?
Mm.
All these Baton Rouge connections. So it seemed like one thing for sure on the staff is of familiarity, but as we know, that's life. It ain't about, you know, what you know. It's about who you know. But at the end, I like this staff because as I tweeted out, I don't know if people seen my tweet. It's something different. All right, it's a breath of fresh air. It's not the same names that you've heard across the SWAC and across HBCUs.
Boy, Boy.
It's not the same names. I mean, it's younger guys who could bring, I guess, probably that new sense of, you know, of football and have a better connection with this current generation and how they operate.
And when they walk into the building, they see it differently.
Yeah.
They're not just going along to get along. They saying, no, we need to make changes. Things have to be able to move differently around here if we're going to be successful. And I don't have a problem with that when someone looks around the building and you see it differently. For me, that's the change Southern needs right now.
Yeah, because, I mean, there's so much. I mean, for the longest, they always say, man, we want to go back to them old days. We want to go back to them P. Richardson days.
Guys. Again, you know, just work with what you got. Do with what you know, make the best of what you have. These guys, I believe, are going to say, look, I know what we have, but we can do better.
Yeah.
Let's go out here. Let's create, you know, and for you, what that role of Falk, now that you have Curtis as the GM, Falk is basically, in my opinion, going to be like the athletic director, just over football. But, you know, it's going to be his job to not just focus on that football program, but like you said, go into doors, into meetings of people that otherwise maybe those people at Southern cannot go have those conversations with. But for him to go find those sponsorships and partnerships and try to find extra finances to come into that program.
Yeah. I think Curtis, I don't think, you know, he ain't going to step on Falk toes and anything. I mean, like I said, these are two New Orleans boys. I mean, I didn't know that Curtis actually recruited Falk to San Diego State, which makes a hell of a lot of sense. I was wondering how he ended up that far, you know, over. But, I think Falk is not being, you know, in his own head. You know, you got some guys, when, you know, when they become a head coach, he's like, oh, it's my way or the highway. Mm-hmm. He's actually going to listen to other guys. He's going to listen to Curtis. He's going to listen to, the kids, you know, their thought process. Now, one thing I love that he said was his first time meeting the team, he asked them, guys, what went wrong?
Mm-hmm.
You know, what's your feeling? You know, what do you think needs to improve? He didn't come in saying, yeah, guys, you know, I'm Marshall Falk, da, 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 this is da, da, da. You know, he didn't pull the Deion, you know, most of y'all won't have a job.
I'm bringing my own luggage.
You know, I feel like that he is actually a listener. So as long as you are willing to, you know, kind of take some guidance, some feedback, knowing that you don't have this experience, I think that's a plus.
Let's look around at the SWAC as a whole because, listen, Southern fans know you are vocal when Southern ain't doing right and then when Southern is doing right. But when you look around at the SWAC now, you look at coaching staffs, of course, you got to look at Tremaine Jackson, who won Coach of the Year. You still got to keep your eye on T.C. Taylor and Jackson State and that staff. Other places have made changes like FAMU. Cozy is out the way. But now when you look at this staff, Eddie Robinson at Alabama State. Mm. When you look at this staff right here, just off of what you see now, because there's no body of work behind it, does this elevate them, in your opinion, to seem like this probably the best collective of a staff within the conference?
Best overall? Like just best staff in the SWAC?
Because like you said, it ain't the same old. It's a different, you know, the experience that these guys have coming from, not necessarily from being coordinators and head coaches, but just they've been around the block, I would say.
Yeah.
And that block ain't the SWAC block.
Mm-hmm. I would say on paper, maybe. I would say, yeah, on paper. I mean, you still got to see it, let it play out. But on paper, I mean, you have everything. I mean, you got the college experience. You got the NFL experience. You got the Louisiana connections. That's one thing. We all know how fertile the recruiting ground is in this state. And how long that, you know, names go a long way. I mean, Curtis Johnson, Marshall Falk, and you say New Orleans.
First thing somebody said to me when they heard Curtis Johnson, they were like, well, at least I know we're going to have some receivers.
Yeah. He has a track record, you know, with receivers. And you know, just, you know, Falk and, you know, Ty, you know, being Super Bowl champions. I mean, that really excites kids and really, you know, really, you know, wants them to want to learn from true winners. So I think, I mean, on paper, as far as the collection of stuff and knowing the landscape, it's up there. But, I mean, I can't just, you know, give them the baton right now.
It's the wait and see.
Yeah, wait and see to at least, I mean, spring ball. I mean, we still got a long ways to go as far as completing out the rest of the staff. I mean, there are names being floated out right now, but nothing confirmed or reported so far.
I'm looking at, you know, as we move forward with this program, the identity, and more so than the identity, the recruiting, you know, how am I trying to put this? So many people, because you say the Louisiana guys, so many Louisiana connections. Is it going to be, you know, you're going to see the connections of the guys who went off in the transfer portal, the guys who went off to the big schools, and maybe it ain't working out, but that Louisiana guy, hey, come on home. On top of all the talent that's around Louisiana, especially at the high school level, especially in the New Orleans, Baton Rouge, River Parish, this just seems like this is the fit to be able to bring them everybody home, whether you're a high school kid or the kid who thought you were going to have success somewhere and you didn't. Hey, come on back home and play for the Jaguars.
I mean, that could be a thing. I mean, ain't nothing wrong with that. I mean, because at the minimum, I mean, they'll get people in the stadiums. It'll get people in the stadiums, and it'll get people wanting to travel, which, I mean, that's always something that's got me recently, because, you know, looking down Southern's roster, I mean, they got a good bit of Louisiana boys, but they don't have enough.
Let me ask you this then before we get ready to get out of here. Saying that, looking at this season and now Falk and his staff taking over, what does this turn around in the areas of the team that we saw that struggle, like the quarterback position, special teams? What for you, when you look at this, what is going to make this successful for them to get this thing built, headed in the right direction, in your opinion?
I would say knowing your identity, knowing what you want to be whenever you get on the field. Because I feel like Southern, for the last few years, since Odoms, they have not had an identity,
mm-hmm.
especially offensively. With Odoms, you know they're going to go out there and they're going to ground and pound.
Mm-hmm.
Offensively, after that, it's just, all right, guys, let's just go out there and do stuff and see what happens. I guess, being true to yourself and, I mean, just simple, this is going to sound kind of cliche, but, I mean, just simple discipline.
Yeah,
this discipline has not been good.
Discipline.
I'm talking penalties, special teams, little things. So just, you know, not jumping off sides on the regular. I mean, so just those things. I mean, just holding on the little things and knowing that, hey, if you make these mistakes, there will be consequences. And we have this other guy who is willing to take your spot and might be better than you. So I guess just simple discipline and knowing how you want to play the game week in and week out.
A fundamentally sound team with an identity.
That's it.
That'll take you a long way.
That's it. I mean, I'll relate it to a team like St. Charles Catholic in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Put it like this. They don't have the fastest guys. They don't have a lot of the D1 guys. But I love watching that team play because they are so fundamentally sound.
Mm-hmm.
All right? They'll, you know, beat you in a low-scoring game. They'll just methodically move down the field with little handoffs and options. Then when you biting on that, they'll hit you with a little tight end crosser across the field.
And teams like that let you beat yourself.
Exactly.
When you make a mistake, they're going to capitalize off of it.
And I'm glad you said that, because what happened in the state championship? What happened in the state championship? I'm any Archbishop Shaw people listening, I'm sorry, but, hey.
Let you beat yourself, because it comes down to discipline. My man, Kevin Baptiste. Kevin, let everybody know where they can keep up with you and find you, man.
You can find me on Twitter/X and Instagram at KBaptiste Jr. and WAFB Sports, 6 and 10 p.m. And, continue to follow. Hope y'all have a great holidays, great Merry Christmas, Happy New Year's, and be ready for another, before football season coming, got to get through basketball and baseball and this stuff. But be ready for another football season coming in the spring, because I am definitely looking forward to it. This is one of the most special Southern seasons I'm going to be looking forward to since I've been on the beat.
And you know one thing about it, as we get ready to go to break, at least Marshall Falk is going to be good with the media. You know, in Baton Rouge, you got to be good with the media.
You got to be.
You can't be sitting there telling us they dropped 8, and we know that well. They didn't drop 8. My man Chris still wants his apology from Coach Dooley.
That story will live in lore forever. That story will never go away. Ever.
My man Kevin Baptiste, thank you for coming in this morning. For everybody else out there listening, we're about to get ready to take a break. We come back on this side, man. The director of bands at Southern University, my man Dr. Kedrick Taylor. Southern won the band of the year last week over in Atlanta. So we're going to talk about that. You guys stay tuned. We'll be right back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning to everybody listening on Talk 107.3 FM across the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody listening and watching on our YouTube and Facebook. Good morning. Be sure to keep up with the Jaguar Journal on Apple Podcasts, on X, on Spotify, on Instagram, Facebook, as well as subscribe to our YouTube channel. Mike got us rocking and rolling on TikTok as well. So continue to grow with us. And we're talking about growing. How about the Southern University Marching Band going over to Atlanta last week, being invited to be participate in the Band of the Year Award? They went against the defending champions, the Florida A&M Marching Band, the Marching 100. And Southern University Marching Band goes over and gets the victory, brings back, as my man John Grant, the executive director of not only the Band of the Year, but as well as the Cricket Celebration Bowl and the MEAC Swag Challenge. He told me, he said, man, you guys won a national championship. Treat it as such. And I'm going to for sure treat it as such, because the man who was behind the entire thing is joining us this morning, my man Dr. Kedrick Taylor, director of bands at Southern University. Good morning, Dr. Taylor.
Good morning. How you doing?
How does it feel to be a national champion, baby?
It feels good.
All that hard work and everything that you and your staff, I mean, you started in the A and you ended in the A, and you brought it back, you know, hey, you did it for us, man, you and your staff, man. Talk to us about the preparation of getting ready to take that band over to try to defeat FAMU and then ultimately defeating them and getting that trophy.
I thank God we stay in the South, because the weather we had preparing to go to Atlanta was real. I don't envy any other bands that actually live in the North that witness that cold weather throughout the year. I don't envy them at all. We preparing to go to Atlanta, and it was 30 degrees some days. It was rain when we were out there in it. So I always tell the students, hey, what you put in is what you get out. And they put a lot of work in, even in the inclement weather. They were still out there 2.5 hours in that cold, putting in work to make sure they perfect the drill, to make sure they perfect their steps, make sure everything was intact. So I commend the students for a job well done, you know, taking the choice to even go out there when, you know, a lot of people used to make band like it was like not a strong organization to be a part of. But I think some of the strongest people are a part of the band, because not only do you have to know how to play the instrument, but you got to be conditioned to march, hold your leg up, and you got to be definitely an athlete to be able to do those things. So I commend the students and the staff on the job well done.
When ADL in named Southern University as the Band of the Year, man, first thing went through your head?
I just was thanking God, because I know without God, we wouldn't have been in that position, because, you know, we've been through a lot. So I just, in the moment, I just was like, man, I was like, these students deserve this. They deserve it. Like, you know, a lot of people don't see the ins and outs of what make those organizations, but it was a lot of work that had to take place. And we had a young band, so, our upperclassmen, normally bands or even organizations, you could tell how great an organization is going to be based on what they bring back. You know, usually when you bring in new people, they got to get adjusted and they got to learn how to do things. So I just commend the students for stepping up, coming in, and being teachable, coachable, and trainable. And being receptive to the things that we taught them throughout the year. And you can see the growth of the band throughout the year. And I was just amazed at when I heard Southern University Band. I just was puzzled. Everybody else was like jumping up and cheering. I just stood there. I was puzzled, because I couldn't, not that I couldn't believe it, but it was just, you know how you know something that you're supposed to get, but then when it finally happens, and then you like, man, it really happened. Mm-hmm. So it was one of those moments for me.
Man, you know, I was there with you guys, and when I heard it and I looked over across the field and I saw the students, as you talk about, who put in that hard work along with you as a staff, man, when I saw the excitement, I said, man, that's what it's all about right there. That's what makes this great at the end of the day, knowing when you put in that hard work and you come to Southern, that you're coming here to be the best. And I bring that up to say, at Southern University is all about being a winner. That we don't have a loser's mentality as a university, and as we associate Southern to us as fans, we understand what's at stake because we have a standard and we have an expectation. And what you guys did was just pretty much solidify what that standard is and what that expectation. That is, we go out and we win and we bring that back home so we can brag about our wins to say, this is why we're great. This is why we're Southern. This is what we do it for. And when I saw those students jump up, man, in the stands and just enjoy, that's what I was like. They would never forget this moment that they won the Band of the Year and defeated defending champion Florida A&M. That was exciting for me alone, Dr. Taylor.
It was exciting. And, you know, for many years, you know, we've always said we had the best band. But it wasn't just something that we talk about or say. It's something that has been on display for many years. I don't care what venue this band go to. Nobody going to get popcorn. Nobody's going to get soda, beer, or nothing. You're going to stay and watch the show because you know that this band is going to put on the show. So I would say it's well-deserved. Like, I've heard students say, man, I came to Southern just because I wanted to see the band in live. Like, I never saw the band. So, you know, I heard about it. And, you know, so to me, that's huge. Having an opportunity to go out and showcase what we do on a day-to-day to the world. Because this is national, you know. So to be able to be on that platform and let them actually see what we do at that level, I was like, man, you know, this is something that more people need to see. I was like, you know, more people need to know about this band. You know, when you got judges from Ohio State saying, man, we can't do nothing with this. Mm-hmm. And as great as a program they have, you know, but they see the value. They see the value of the Human Jukebox. Like, everybody sees the value. Even our rivals, they see the value. They see the value because they practice so hard. They keep those kids in practice late. But we have the same practice schedule for everybody. Like, we don't over-prepare for nobody. We prepare the same way because we're preparing against ourselves. We want to be better than our last performance. And I will say that this last performance by far was one of our best performances of the season. From execution to the sound, it just was amazing.
I told you what my mama said. Hey, look, everybody. My mama watched it. She said, she heard that lately by Stevie Wonder. She said, Perry, that Dr. Taylor, when he wrote that, he meant that thing. said, that was her exact word. She said, he meant that thing. That sounded good, man. So, for you and everybody who wants to see the show, if you want to watch and see what it looks like to win the Band of the Year, why Southern has the number one band in the land, you can go to the Human Jukebox Media page on YouTube, and you'll get a chance to watch that show and watch the stand battles. Watch the entire thing and see how Southern won this thing. Dr. Taylor, man, thank you for coming on this morning, man. Before I let you go, anything coming up for the band that people ought to be watching out for?
Yes. Man, we're actually going to Boca Raton in January to compete in another ballad band, but this one is just a showcase. But definitely, you want to go out there. It's going to be a great event. The weather, I hear, is great there. I've never been, but it's definitely an opportunity for our students to go and experience something different. So we'll be out there Martin Luther King weekend.
Well, man, that sounds exciting. I cannot wait. I love Florida. I hope all our Jaguars that are all in the surrounding area, that they end up there. And I'm sure if you want to keep up with the Southern University Human Jukebox, of course, you can keep up with the Southern University Marching Band across all social media as well as YouTube. That's my man, Dr. Kedrick Taylor, Director of Bands of the Band of the Year, Southern University Human Jukebox. Man, congratulations. Hey, I'm proud of you, dog. Hey, I love you. That's my dog right there. That's my boy. You and the whole staff, man. Congratulations, man. I'm happy for you guys, man.
Thank you so much, Pierre. Have a great
one. Yes, sir. All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break, man. We come back on the other side. We're going to get ready to close things out. Stay tuned. More of the Jaguar Journal. Everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to everybody. Glad to have you guys with us. I'm Perry White. Good morning to everybody on Talk 107.3 FM. Listen across the Baton Rouge Capital City area on the radio. And it's a big area in which we encompass, and everybody in the even bigger area on our YouTube and Facebook, glad to have you guys with us. Be sure, please, to keep up with the Jaguar Journal on all these different areas. You can keep up with us on Apple Podcasts, on Spotify, on X, on Instagram, Facebook, TikTok, as well as YouTube. You can like, subscribe, do all of that stuff. Keep up with the Jaguar Journal as we continue to grow. We want you guys to grow with us. I want to thank my guest for today. Of course, Coach Brittany Williams, the softball coach over at Southern University. My man Kevin Baptiste coming in from WAFB, talking to us about Southern University football. And then my man Dr. Kedrick Taylor, director of bands over at Southern University, of course, winning the band of the year. Man, it is the holiday season. Next time I talk to you guys, Christmas would have come and gone. Can you believe Christmas next week? Are you guys listening to Christmas music? Are you watching the Christmas movies? I watched a Christmas movie the other night that is an underrated Christmas movie, The Preacher's Wife, with Whitney Houston and Denzel Washington. Great movie. Awesome movie, right? Everything ain't about the Grinch, right? Everybody want to watch the Grinch, right? That's okay. But I can't wait. A Christmas Story is when Home Alone. I rock with all the Home Alone. So get your Christmas movies together. You know, bring back the holidays. You know, whether you however you look at it, at the end of the day, whether you agree with whatever comes with the holidays or not, just enjoy being around each other. And I know sometimes the holidays bring grief. That grief could be have lost a loved one. It's not the same like it used to be. You know, you may not have that pillar in the family that's holding things together like they used to. You know, there's so much that comes along with the holidays. But at the end of the day, just make sure that you have some love and enjoy your time with one another. If you do spend time with people, then if you don't, enjoy yourself and love yourself if you don't do nothing else. Enjoy and love yourself. And I got to give a shout out to everybody out there. For just me, myself, I put out there for everybody to vote for me or coach. Of course, HBCU Pass had different categories out there, and I was nominated for On-Camera Talent of the Year. And guess what? Because you guys helped, Perry White won On-Camera Talent of the Year. Can you believe that? So I appreciate you guys for all that you did with the support and the love. Listen, I tell you, we strong together. And that right there showed me that you guys rock with me, you stick with me, and I ended up winning that thing. Fan favorite. People's choice, as they call it. So I appreciate you guys. So you're now listening to Perry White, the On-Camera Talent of the Year. It's been a great year. It really has. Had an opportunity to go to the Super Bowl with the band of the year with the band, worked on an Emmy Award-winning project, named 40 Under 40 by Southern University Alumni Federation, and now On-Camera Talent of the Year. It's been all right with me. 2025, and I hope to make 2026 even better. My man Mike helps out a lot right here in the studio. Listen, Mike puts in a lot of work to make sure that we're good here. My man CJ Guidry does a lot behind the scenes. And I appreciate you guys because without y'all, I tell y'all, I think I'd be talking to myself on Saturday mornings because I'm like, who wants to get up and listen? And when you do radio, you just talking into a mic and you don't know if anybody has it on. You just talking. You don't know if anybody's chiming in. Only way I know y'all fooling with me on social media and YouTube because I see the comment sections. But at least y'all don't hate me. Now, some people do, but I appreciate that. And from the bottom of my heart, I want to tell you guys I love you and I thank you for that, especially anytime I get to meet people out in the public and they say, man, I listen to the show, I'd be surprised of the people. And you'd be surprised. White, black, does not matter the color. There's tons of people who don't even have any association with Southern, but they listen to this show. And I appreciate that. So I thank you guys. I hope you have a safe and wonderful holiday. I hope everybody just have a loving spirit if you don't do nothing else. I'm a genuine person. I believe in love. I believe in positive energy. And we need that as a country, as a community, more than anything before. We need love. We spend too much time mugging and arguing and mad and upset about what? Somebody's color of their skin, somebody you because you don't like them. Spend time to focus on love and positive energy. And that's what I've done in 2025. And let me tell you, when you spend your time and do that, you'll be amazed at the wonderful accomplishments that come your way. And I'm here to tell you, put your energy towards that and you'll realize how much your life will change when that energy then comes to change for you and you get the things you've been wanting. When you wonder why things ain't working out, watch where you channel your energy. Control your energy. Don't let nobody upset you. Don't let nobody change your energy. Be positive and be loving. And that's what the holidays is all about. And the new year, because I know the gym membership's finna go up. Y'all gonna be in Planet Fitness and the rest of them for about, how many weeks will you give them, Mike? About 4 weeks, 6 weeks? 3 weeks, there it is. You know, my New Year's resolution, I got to shed about 100 pounds. Stick with it then. Stick with it. So, thank you guys. Shout out to everybody out there. Hey, shout out to you guys that's the supporters. You guys are the real winners, and you don't even realize that. And that's why we love you so much, because without y'all, we wouldn't be doing this. They would have been took us off the air, been took us off social media, because it's like nobody's watching. But because of you guys, you're the real winners. You're the real people that we love, and we support you more than you think you support us, because without you, there would be no us. And so I hope you guys have a happy holiday, a wonderful season. Be safe out there. And I love you. That's all I can tell you. If you can't accept that, then okay, so what? It's nothing you can do about it, all right? You do last day, you just know I love you. So thank you from myself, Perry White, my man, Mike, CJ. Thank you. Happy holidays, and we'll see you after Christmas. Stay tuned. Hey, more of the Jaguar Journal next week, all right?